This is Financially Speaking with Sue and Cole, with your host Sue Bushka from Bushka Retirement Solutions and Cole Bruner from Bushka Wealth Management. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Sue and Cole provide their clients and prospects with the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful solutions to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now, here with the financial information you need are Sue and Cole.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Financially Speaking with Sue and Cole. My name is Cole Bruner from Bushka Wealth Management, and joining me this week is my mom, Sue Bushka, from Bushka Retirement Solutions. Now, listeners out there, don't forget, if at any point during today's show you want to get some more information, give us a call at 715-355-4445 or visit us online at retirewithbushka.com. That's retirewithbushka.com. And of course, while you're at the website, make sure to take a few minutes to check out the radio and TV show page. You can check out some of our past shows. And on the radio show page, you can also subscribe to our program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or even Amazon Music, whichever you prefer. Now, today we'll be talking about retirement planning for women. Now, like many people, you might wonder, why just women? Don't men and women have mostly the same retirement planning process needs? And really, our answer to that is sort of, but not really. So for today's show, it's not just for women. It's also for men who want to make sure that their spouse is going to be taken care of if they were to pass away first, which, as you know, is statistically likely. But before we get into all of that, let's make sure to introduce everyone here with us today. Sue and Tony. Tony, how are we doing this morning?
I am so good, Cole. I'm great. Just a crazy busy week. You know, with the holidays, I still haven't gotten all of our Christmas shopping done. Sarah and I went out last night, and we're scrambling around. I don't know what it is. It just seems harder to figure out what to get people.
Easy to procrastinate until the very end there, too.
Well, yeah, there's that, and we do a good job of that each year. And every year we say, nope, we're starting ahead. We're going to just buy stuff throughout the year or after Christmas sales, and then we'll be done. We say that every single year, and it never happens. But really what the problem is, Sue and Cole, is finding stuff, trying to find something for people, especially people who already have everything.
Right, right.
What do you, I'm not going to name names, Cole Bruner, but what do you get them? I mean,
we've had that same conversation in our family. You know, as we all get older, it's like we just do the whole pass around. What do you want this year? And what do you want this year?
Yeah.
So it's less of a surprise every year.
Yeah. I know. As you get older, it is. I mean, it just, you know, when the kids were young, it was easier for them as well. Now it's like, you know, they're adult children. What do you get them?
Right.
I mean, yeah, they want cash, of course.
Don't we all?
Exactly. I mean, Sue, you got my Christmas wish list for gifts for you to buy for me, and it was just one word: cash.
Cash. You know, and Tony, it's in the mail.
It's in the mail. The check's in the mail.
The check's in the mail.
You know what I miss? I miss the old JCPenney's catalog that came out.
Oh, yeah.
Gigantic catalog that they sent out every year. And we'd sit down with a permanent marker, all of us kids, and we'd circle all the stuff that we wanted. I remember those days. I miss those days. Sometimes I wish they'd send those catalogs out again.
Yeah, well, I do too. Yeah, those were great.
Well, I get all
that was amazing.
I get all kinds.
And then after that, JCPenney had the big thick toy catalog, and it was just like, wow, every toy in the universe. And of course, we did that. We gave our kids, when the ads would come out, our Christmas catalogs or Target's toy section, and my one daughter would circle everything. Like,
well, yeah, that's my,
her, you know, circle three things, and it would be like 10.
Yeah, that's my grandson. He's six, and I get all these little catalogs in the mail, you know, these skinny little magazines, and they all have all these toys in them, and he circles everyone on every page.
Just circle the whole catalog, yeah. Really.
Grandma.
Yeah. I know.
Grandma spoils me. I'm going to circle this and this, too.
Yeah, she'll get that for me. Yeah, I know she will.
We know, Sue. I know. We know you spoiled. Well, Sue, how have you been?
Oh, good, good. Just the, you know, big Christmas rush, too. You know, it's trying to get everything all prepared, and I'm going to go to Chicago next week for a couple days and visit my son, and so everything is kind of a rush holiday here.
The end of the year tends to be that crunch time.
Yeah.
Getting everything done for holidays and also getting all your year-end planning done, too.
Yes.
Financial planning and all that. So, yeah, we've been busy, yes. Busy lately.
Crazy.
Yep, and you've been doing good, right, Cole?
Absolutely. Yeah. Excited for the holiday season. Spend some time with family. Take a little bit of time off of work, which is great because, you know, we don't get a ton of that throughout the course of the year. So looking forward to a little bit of a slowdown here towards the end of the year since we've been so busy over the course of the last few months getting everything taken care of for our clients as we head into the new year here.
Yeah, that sounds great. And I think, seriously, though, you've got an important topic for us today. I'm glad we're talking about this. I know a lot of people, especially our age, have seen their parents or grandparents face retirement challenges, especially that are unique to women. For our moms, our grandmothers, our spouses, they face unique challenges, don't they, Sue?
Well, they sure do, Tony. And let's begin today by discussing the obvious thing that you just alluded to. Women do live longer than men. In fact, according to the Centers for Disease Control, the difference has recently increased to almost 6 years. So women's life expectancy is now just over 79 years, while men's life expectancy is 73 and a half. So obviously, that has some major implications for women's retirement income needs. Now, they will need their money to last longer, but they'll also need to consider the impact of going from 2 Social Security benefits down to 1 and potentially losing a pension income. Now, if your spouse was lucky enough to even have a pension, plus the longer a person lives, the more likely it is that they'll encounter additional health care needs, including the possibility of long-term care. And that can have a huge impact on finances.
Oh, yeah. I would imagine it would have a major impact on your finances. And as people live longer, I think so many of us have experienced this firsthand. Again, through our parents or grandparents, the financial complexities that come with things like funding long-term care.
Oh, absolutely, Tony. And, you know, I'm not saying that longer life is really a bad thing, of course, just that it requires some additional planning in terms of income. And there are several other factors that women need to consider that aren't issues for men. According to a recent article from Morgan Stanley entitled Retirement Planning, Why the Stakes Are Higher for Women, women also tend to have less money saved for retirement. And it's not because of their spending habits. There are several reasons for this. The first reason is the long persisting wage gap. If it seems like we've been talking about this for years, it's because we have. Women still make about 83 cents on the dollar compared to men. Plus, men dominate in most of the high-paying professions. Less earnings translate into less ability to save for retirement. Now, the second reason women have less saved for retirement, according to the article, is because women are more likely to experience career interruptions. They're more likely to take time off to care for their children or even parents. And that, of course, impacts both their lifetime earnings and can also slow down their career progression.
Well, yeah, and that makes sense from a financial perspective, although it does seem a bit unfair. I know that a person's Social Security benefit is based on their 35 highest earning years, so a few years working part-time or not working, like many women do to raise a family, that could have a big impact, is what you're saying.
That's exactly right, Tony. And now there's one more difference I want to talk about, and it surprised me enough that I went and did some additional research on it. Just a few years ago, Fidelity conducted what is called the Women and Investing Study, and it reinforced findings from earlier research, which is that while women are often the CFO, of a household and handle all the day-to-day finances, paying the bills, etc. They still report that they are much less confident when it comes to investing.
Well, yeah, and so why is that though, Sue?
Well, Tony, to some extent, it makes sense because research also shows that women know less about investing than men. So it seems that a lower level of confidence makes sense. But here's what seems even more interesting. Despite that lack of confidence and lower level of knowledge, when women do invest, they tend to outperform men.
Of course you would say that, too.
Of course.
But no, I've actually read that and heard that's true. So, Cole, it seems like from what Sue's saying, men are more confident, but women actually do better then.
That's exactly right. Now, several different studies have actually come to this same conclusion. Of course, the question is why, and there are multiple theories, but maybe less confidence makes women more willing to take the advice of an expert. Maybe it's because women take a more conservative investment approach, while men are much more likely to want to jump on the new shiny thing that everybody's talking about. Think like crypto, for example, more than women. But women are less active traders. You've probably heard the phrase buy and hold, and or it's not market timing, it's time in the market. And of course, as we've talked about in past shows, frequent trading can result in lower performance. Women seem to be less impulsive, which often works in their favor.
Oh, okay. So, you know, this is starting to sound like a version of why don't men ever ask for directions, right?
I know. And I think about these factors taken together. You've got women earning less money during their working life, both because of the wage gap and because they're more likely to take breaks. Women living longer than men and women less likely to invest. So all these unique retirement concerns add up to one thing. Women, both single and married, need to consider their retirement income strategy.
Well, so how should they do that?
Well, that's exactly what we're going to talk about after this break. And remember, if you're listening and thinking to yourself, I should really do something about this, or I should make sure that my spouse is protected if I die first, you can visit our website at retirewithbushka.com for more information, or you can call our office at 715-355-4445.
All right, that sounds great. And listeners, stay tuned. We're going to be right back with more of Financially Speaking with Sue and Cole right after this.
Do you feel prepared for retirement? Cole Bruner and Sue Bushka work to help people navigate the uncertainties of retirement strategies. If you would like help understanding complex topics like Social Security, tax deferral, or growing your nest egg, visit their website at retirewithbushka.com. Or give their office a call at 715-355-4445.
Welcome back to Financially Speaking with Sue and Cole. I'm your co-host, Tony Shore. And of course, I'm here with Sue and Cole. We've gotten a lot to think about from you both today. I think I'll start having my wife do all our investing from everything you've told me. If we're going to come out ahead, I'm all for it. But you know, I think this is important, isn't it?
I know you're joking, Tony, but you raise a good point, and it's relevant to the discussion of how women can begin to consider their unique retirement needs. Now, women, married or single, should be a part of the retirement discussion. Now, I get that couples often tend to divide and conquer when it comes to who does what, but this is too important of a topic to delegate just to one person.
Yeah. So what should women do in this instance, Cole?
Well, Tony, there are actually several things. We just read an article recently here on annuity.org article entitled Women in Retirement, How to Take the Reins, that we thought had some really good advice for women. Now, the first thing is empower yourself with education. In general, women have a lower level of financial literacy than men. But that's easy to change, especially in today's world. There's tons of books, websites, and podcasts, financially speaking, TV and radio shows, you name it. But they can really help up your financial knowledge. Now, to be clear, we're not suggesting that you buy products online or anything like that. We're just talking about learning more about finances, because remember, knowledge really is power. The second thing is participate in a retirement plan. Many people have a retirement plan offered through work, but even if you don't, you can open an IRA or a Roth IRA potentially if you qualify. For a traditional IRA or retirement account, you're going to put money in pre-tax, so it reduces your taxable income, and then the money grows tax-deferred until you start withdrawing it after age 59 and a half. And of course, that's just a very basic overview of how that works, and we can certainly give you more information if you reach out and chat with one of our advisors.
Well, that's great advice, Cole. I encourage our listeners out there to pick up the phone and give you guys a call. Visit the website. But Sue, what if you're already in your 50s or even your 60s? Is it too late to start?
Well, it's always better to start early, but today is better than tomorrow, because there are things that we can do to help you get caught up. And you can also contribute more money to a retirement account once you're over age 50. The IRS calls these catch-up contributions. Third, make retirement planning a priority. I get it. You know, life is pretty busy, and women in particular tend to delay financial moves due to lack of knowledge or fear. Plus, it's possible that not everyone finds finances as interesting and fun as I do. Now, seriously, don't delay. You need to get started. Like I said, today is better than tomorrow.
Obviously, and it's always better. You know, they say the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago.
Right.
The second best time is today.
Yep.
Same with this planning. And also, I love this saying, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step.
Absolutely. That's right. So true, Tony. And we want all of our clients, men and women, to avoid these common retirement regrets, also cited in that same annuity.org article. The regret number one, not being involved in the retirement planning process with a spouse or partner. Many women let their partner take charge of this, but it's a mistake to not be involved in the process. Regret number two, not asking questions or working with a financial professional. Many women say they feel intimidated by the topic and a financial professional. Don't be. Remember, the financial professional works for you. And regret number three, waiting to save until debt is completely paid off. Of course, paying off debt is important, but growing your retirement savings is just as equally important, too. Doing both things at once is often a really good approach.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and that's great. My wife tells me I can't do two things at once.
Not a good multitasker over there.
She's noticed. But what you're saying is participate in the process. Work with a financial professional and ask questions. Don't wait until debt is paid off before you start saving for retirement, right? You know, using myself, for example, one of the things I like best about working with you and Sue is that you tell me what I need to hear, not what I want to hear.
Right, right.
So what's next in this woman-focused show?
Well, as promised, next up is aimed at what couples can do to make sure that the woman is protected if the man dies first, since statistically speaking, it's likely that he will.
Wow, you seem almost cheery about that, Sue. Have I mentioned how cheery this topic is? I mean, nobody likes to think of their own passing, but this is something we have to plan for, isn't it?
Well, you did, but it's important. So just stick with me. Let's next address taking care of the surviving spouse.
Yeah, and your surviving spouse, it could be the man or the woman, but statistically speaking, like you've said, it's likely to be a woman, isn't it?
Well, Tony, that is true, and women live on average about 6 years longer than men, as we mentioned earlier, and we've already talked about what that means in terms of retirement income. Women's money needs to last longer, and they're more likely to have significant health care or long-term care costs later in life. So what can be done to plan for those possibilities? Well, there are several things, and we're going to start out with what is the foundation of retirement income for many people, Social Security. We're going to address a situation that we actually see pretty often, where the man has earned more money during a marriage and therefore qualifies for a larger Social Security benefit. We've already talked about how women tend to earn less during their working years, both because of that wage gap and because they're more likely to have taken some breaks in their career to care for children or elderly parents. And this is going to be more of an overview. So if you want details, make sure to reach out to our office to schedule a consultation. Now, first, you may know that depending upon the certain specific circumstances, a spouse with lower lifetime earnings can choose to forego their own Social Security and instead apply to get their benefit through their higher earning spouse's Social Security through spousal benefits.
Well, that's very good, Cole. Great points. And I think it's important for our listeners to understand this. We should probably take another quick break. Is there anything you want to add before we do?
Well, Tony, a reminder that for any of the women listeners out there or men who are concerned about their spouse, it is a great opportunity to take advantage of that no cost, no obligation consultation just to make sure that you understand how your circumstances might change in the event that you lose a spouse and make sure that you're planning adequately for that. So give us a call at 715-355-4445 or visit retirewithbushka.com.
All right. Thank you, Cole and Sue. We're going to be right back with more of Financially Speaking with Sue and Cole.
When you think of a puzzle, what would you say is the most important piece? A corner? A side piece? I would argue the most important piece of a puzzle is the picture on the box. And the same can be said for your retirement. Cole Bruner and Sue Bushka from Bushka Retirement Solutions would love to show you your retirement picture. For more information, call 715-355-4445 or visit their website at retirewithbushka.com.
And welcome back to Financially Speaking with Sue and Cole. I'm your co-host, Tony Shore. And at the close of the last segment, you were talking about a spouse with less lifetime earnings may be able to claim Social Security through their higher earning spouse, which is especially important to women who outlive their husbands and spouses. Tell us more about that.
Well, Tony, let's say that the higher earning spouse, in this case, we'll call him Joe, gets a Social Security benefit of $2,000 per month. His wife, Lisa, has a benefit of only about $700 a month. So Lisa has the option to claim Social Security based on Joe's work history instead of her own. But there is a catch. The most Lisa can get is half of Joe's primary insurance amount. Now, that's the amount Joe will get if he works until his full retirement age. So if Lisa or Joe retires early, that amount is reduced. So the most that Lisa could get is $1,000 a month.
Oh, wow. Okay, that makes sense. I'm glad you're explaining this. I'm tracking this so far. What else?
Well, Tony, if Joe dies first, then Lisa's going to get whatever Joe was getting. So in this case, she'll get $2,000 a month after he dies, but she doesn't get her $700 anymore. Now, here's where we can actually build in some extra protection for Lisa. Let's say that the $2,000 is Joe's full retirement benefit. By that, we mean that Joe retired at his full retirement age of, let's say, 67 and started getting his Social Security. But what would have happened if Joe had retired early?
Yeah, good question. He probably would have gotten less than $2,000 a month, right?
Exactly right. If he retired at age 62, which is the earliest possible age to get Social Security, and began claiming those benefits, he would have only received around $1,400 per month, which means that after Joe dies, the most Lisa can get is $1,400 per month. And that's a pretty significant drop. But guess what happens if Joe waits to get his Social Security until age 70, Tony?
I'm going to say it goes up.
Right again. It does go up. If he waits until age 70, that $2,000 per month turns into $2,480 per month.
So what you're saying there is that, hey, if Joe waits until age 70 to take his Social Security benefit, then Lisa will also get that higher benefit if he passes first.
Yep, that's exactly right. So if you think it's likely that your lower earning spouse will outlive the higher earning spouse, delaying your Social Security benefit is one way to maintain a higher level of income for that survivor.
Oh, okay. And that's good information. But even though income is obviously a huge thing for the surviving spouse, What about other things? Like, what else can Joe and Lisa do to prepare?
Well, that's a great question, Tony. I found an ARP article entitled 10 Tips to Help Protect Your Spouse, and that lists other things that couples should do in advance to help put the surviving spouse in a strong position. Now, here are the 10 tips for what couples should do in advance of death. First of all, you should gather up your financial papers. Lots of people have things stuffed in drawers or in different files or maybe even a safe deposit box. Now, no judgment here, but it's a good idea to get those things organized and all in one spot. Now, as an aside, we offer our clients access to the Generational Vault, which is our secure online storage vault, where they can save financial documents, account values, and even family keepsakes or videos. Now, this is complimentary to our clients, and it's a great way to organize the things that we're talking about.
You should also make a must-call list, which would include contact information for people like your accountant, your lawyer, or other financial professionals that need to be called after your death.
Also, good points, Cole. Also, share passwords. Keep a master list in the generational vault of all your passwords so that your spouse has access to these accounts.
Also, don't forget to update beneficiaries. We cannot stress how important this is. We've all heard the horror stories about ex-spouses who are still named as the life insurance beneficiary. So make sure you check these and make sure that they're up to date.
That's right. And check credit cards. Do you have joint accounts? If so, then the surviving spouse will be responsible for charges on the account. If not, then the surviving spouse won't be responsible for the debt, but also will not be able to use the account.
Also, make sure you've set up advanced directives. You both need healthcare powers of attorney to designate the person you want to make medical decisions on your behalf if, for some reason, you are incapacitated. You'll also need a living will that spells out what measures you want the doctor to take to prolong your life.
And also designate a money person. Each of you will need a financial power of attorney so you can name a trusted person to make money decisions for you if you're unable to do so.
Also, remember that if you have any questions or concerns about how much you need for retirement, Social Security questions, or if you'd like to begin developing a financial strategy or get a second opinion on your current financial strategy, visit our website at retirewithbushka.com or call our office at 715-355-4445 to discuss the ways that our team may be able to help you. Of course, it's always our goal to help you prepare for the retirement that you've worked so hard for.
All right. Hey, that sounds great. Unfortunately, we're out of time for today's show. Sue and Cole, thanks so much for all the great information. Very helpful. And listeners, that does it for today's episode of Financially Speaking with Sue and Cole.
Thank you for listening to Financially Speaking with Sue and Cole. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound income plan. For more information, please contact Sue and Cole at Bushka Retirement Solutions and Bushka Wealth Management. Call 715-355-4445 or visit them online at retirewithbushka.com. Fee-based financial planning and investment advisory services are offered by Bushka Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor in the state of Wisconsin. Insurance products and services are offered through Bushka Retirement Solutions, Inc. Bushka Wealth Management, LLC, and Bushka Retirement Solutions, Inc. are affiliated companies.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.